Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness and where we're heading as a planetary race and what that means as individuals open up to a greater reality. I'm very happy about tonight's guest. She has an incredible story, really, truly amazing. Her name is Dr. Jamie Turndoff, and her new book is called Love Never Dies. And Jamie, welcome to the program. I know you have a great story. I want everyone to hear it. You have a PhD. You're a psychotherapist. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. So excited that my publicist, who's loved you for a long time, introduced us. It's nice to be with you.
Yes.
You know, actually,
yes,
Love Never Dies. Love Never Dies became number one, Alan, and it's in 34 languages now. So it's really been a wonderful response, you know, worldwide to our story.
Love Never Dies became number one on Amazon. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and it got and because of the sales, it's been translated into 34 languages. Yeah.
Well, it's a really amazing story. What's even more amazing is that you've created a whole new body of work with grief counseling. So, I mean, for people who don't know your story, do you mind? I know you must have told it.
Oh, it's such a thrill to be able to share it with you, and I would love to. So I'll just give you just some highlights. And the story really begins when I was a young girl, Alan. I had a premonition of the man that I was going to marry one day. I literally saw his face. I saw his body. I saw everything about him. And I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to date. I'm going to wait until this man appears. And I thought that was a very medieval concept. For a girl in the 70s.
How did you know you were so sure? I mean, lots of people have fantasies.
No, I just knew. I just knew, wait until he appears. It was such a clear premonition. And he did appear.
Were you already a spiritually awakened person or no?
I obviously was, but I didn't know it.
Okay.
I never put a label on it, but, you know, I obviously was, if I was getting a premonition and following it. But I just was living my life being awake. So on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College, I had been shut out of all intro sociology, and I really wanted to take sociology. So I asked the secretary of the department, Judy Cadwallader, what can I do? She said, go ask the chair of the department, Jean Pain, if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed classes. Well, Alan, the minute I stepped into that man's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And when I shot back into my body, I received the message, remember every aspect of this meeting, he is going to be everything to you one day. Yeah, that's your normal first day of a freshman year at Vassar College, right?
Wow.
After I had this premonition, I found out that Jean had been, for most of his life, one of the most famous Jesuit priests. He had taught at the Vatican, and he founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. And he actually launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce in Italy. He told me years later that he was a radical feminist Jesuit priest. He didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused, so he fought on the grounds of religious freedom, liberation, theology, separation of church and state. He fought the Pope and the Church, won, got the divorce bill passed, and soon after the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows so that he wasn't excommunicated, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar. And actually, he had been the chair of the department for 10 years on that fated day that I met him. Now, everybody has to know this. My background was completely different from Jean's. I was raised by two devoutly atheist Jewish parents. The only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other's guts and mind. They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. I never read the Bible, never went to synagogue. So we had a completely different background. So now, 4 years after that amazing meeting, it was my senior year, and I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis. And I had heard, as I said, he had been a famous statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I asked him, can you help me? Even though he wasn't my advisor, he happily gave me his time. And Alan, within a couple of weeks, we just knew we were crazy for each other. We were twins separated at birth. We were soulmates. Mm-hmm. And we were inseparable.
Was he a lot older than you?
He was older than I. And, you know, I actually used to tease him, you need a younger wife. This was later, too, because I couldn't keep up with the man. You know, people, saints, I'm convinced he's a saint. Saints, they say, are eternally youthful. And he was that way. But he was older than I, yeah. Now, in the last year of his bodily life, we both started having premonitions privately that he was going to leave his body due to an accident. We just didn't know when or where it was going to happen. So we went to Italy on our final vacation. We were sitting on the beach.
How long had you been together at that point?
Almost 30 years.
30 years?
Almost 30 years. I know, I was an embryo when we got together. No,
no, but you were in love that whole time. You had a beautiful time together.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy for each other. Crazy.
Wow. Crazy. Beautiful. That's
so
nice.
We're sitting on the beach. I mean, we wrote books together. We restored houses together. We rejoiced in every moment we spent together. We were crazy for each other. An incredible, incredible passion.
So you're in Italy. Where in Italy were you?
We were in Sperlonga, which is a Moorish village an hour and a half south of Rome. It looks like a little mini Bay of Naples. It's a perched village, all whitewashed, and we were on the beach. And Jean's hand was up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. The next thing I knew, a bee swooped down and stung his hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And then I watched him suffocate in front of my eyes.
Right there in a matter of minutes, you're saying?
He left his body within the day.
Wow.
And I mean, I describe in Love Never Dies how agonizing it was to have him ripped from me in this way. I was hysterical. And Alan, I go back to the hotel room. I collapse on the bed. I'm shaking. I'm trembling. I'm crying hysterically. And the next thing I knew, I felt his hand stroke the entire length of my spine. I knew what I felt. I popped bolt upright. I looked over my shoulder. I didn't see anything, but I knew he was with me. And he has been with me ever since that moment. From that moment, he began making astonishing manifestations in front of witnesses. I have captured many on film and camera. He moves things. He turns lights on and off. So he basically told me, Jamie, our relationships don't die. Our relationships aren't meant to end with bodily death. And so as a result of this, I created a groundbreaking new, what I call transdimensional grief resolution method that totally diverges from the Western approach, which is grieve, let go, and move on, which we both know only leaves the bereaved at an even greater loss. So instead, my method shows those who are grieving how to say hello, not goodbye, and how to do it without a medium, a channeler, or a psychic. And then there's just one more piece, because as a shrink, I know millions of people harbor unfinished business with those in spirit. And again, Western grief therapy offers us no way of making peace with those in spirit. So my new dialoguing with the departed technique gives you the first vehicle for not only reconnecting, but also making peace with the deceased.
Well, can you tell us some of that, what it's about, how that happens, and how someone can make contact with
we're talking today about my New York Open Center.
Yeah, give people the dates and times.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the New York Open Center teaching my method, and that'll be on October 7th from 10 to 5:30. So in essence, what I'm doing there is I'm going to give you the elements of my method. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to overcome all the false beliefs and all the false religious teachings that block most people from reconnecting. So I'm going to go over all of those, and basically we've got to remove those blocks. And then I'm going to
No, I just had a question about that. Okay. Because when someone crosses over, how much of their personality do they retain, and do they sort of merge with the greater cosmos?
Yeah, they don't merge with anything. We have so many misconceptions. One of the first things Jean said to me was, Jamie, death is an illusion. There's a very thin veil between the realm where you are and the realm where I am. The veil is thinner than you can ever imagine. I'm standing right here.
So how did he tell that to you? How did he say that?
He told me this through mind melding or thought induction. Oh, okay. This is what came through. And in fact, I'll tell you, the first night back from Italy, I was alone in our bed for the first time after almost, 3 decades. That man started quoting something to me. I had no idea what he was quoting, but I knew it was a passage I didn't recognize. The next day, I went to meet with his priest. And I said to the priest, my husband is talking to me, and he is quoting something. And the priest looked at me like, yo, this babe has rounded the bend. She's lost her marbles. But then, when I told the priest what Jean said, he blanched and crossed himself, and he said, dear God, Jamie, at first I didn't believe that Jean is speaking to you, but I believe you now. And he said, you are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints. Well, I had no idea. As I said, I never read the Bible, never went to synagogue or church. And Jean and I did not discuss religion when he lived in a body. Now, it took me a year to understand why Jean quoted that passage. Because remember, he was a religious pioneer in life. He continues to be in the afterlife. And he was telling me, here's one of the things he said. The Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And because the Bible tells us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, it means the Bible's also telling us to stay in communication and communion with our loved ones in spirit because they are one with God and the saints. So this is just one of the many things. He was giving me the foundation for my new transdimensional grief resolution method. So this is just
I just have one more question. How does that mind melding work? How do you know you're getting...
So how do you know? You'll be walking along and suddenly a thought will pop into your head that you know that it isn't your own. In my case, I knew nothing about the Communion of Saints, and yet a passage is now being downloaded into me. So when your loved ones speak to you through mind melding, also known as thought induction, a thought that isn't your own just downloads into your brain. Okay?
But you say thought induction, is that a name you gave?
Thought induction or mind melding. It's the same thing. Because remember, when your loved ones, their bodies, their energy. So the energy of their thoughts can just be transmitted into your mind. Okay?
But I'm saying, is that a term you created or is that a term?
No, I would say that people say thought induction or mind melding. I read books after I wrote my book, and I have heard that term used by people.
So you're receiving a thought, like you could be receiving a thought, but how do you know it's not your own? I guess like when you
Because, for one thing, how do I know nothing about the Communion of Saints. That's a good example of what I'm talking about.
That is.
I know nothing of it.
That is a good example.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? So something will come in and you'll say, oh, I don't know what this is. Like, for example, I train coaches in my method. And tonight we were in coaches training. And suddenly I start making a joke to one of my coaches talking in an Italian accent. And I say, something that was crazy. It was goofy. And the coach says to me, my father used to say that to me with that Italian accent. So there, it just came in and I shared it. So the point is, you were asking me about don't they just merge into the ether and do they keep their personalities? These are all the false beliefs, actually, that I'm going to really debunk in the workshop. Mm-hmm. Because
Great.
We have these ideas, and these ideas block us. You know, I'm going to debunk, you know, oh, you're preventing them from moving into the light, or prevents you from moving on if you reconnect, and all these other things, or you're opening the door to the devil. So all these things we have to eliminate so that we are freer. And then I'm also going to talk about the science, because when you're, you know, your rational brain understands the latest science, it makes it easier for you to reconnect. And I'm sure right. You, Alan, this is your specialty. You know what I'm referring to in terms of the latest science.
Of course.
You know, the idea that Einstein said energy can't be destroyed, right? So, and then also the quantum physicists describe that 95% of our universe is comprised of dark matter or dark energy, right? Because it doesn't reflect light, not because it's dark or evil. So
Right. Essentially,
when we shed the turtle shell of our physical bodies, the energy of our soul essence just moves into the dark matter. And that's why Jean said, There's a very thin veil between the realm where you are and the realm where I am. I'm standing right here. So he was describing in lay terms, I'm in the dark matter. So what I teach you how to do with my method is how to tune to what I call the spirit channel of your brain and send and receive energetic communications to and from the dark matter, to and from your loved ones in the dark matter.
So there, everyone has, of course, a spiritual center of their brain. I mean,
yes.
And I'm sure people have discovered that over the ages, of course, right?
I mean, yes.
Mediums do this all the time, right? Isn't this
right,
the same as
listen,
a medium?
You know, I want to debunk this for everyone, because some people say, oh, Jamie, you're so open, and Jean's so open. But we all are born, just as you said, Alan, we're all born with this innate ability to send and receive energetic communications. And in fact, we do it every day. We don't even think twice about doing it. You know how twins living on opposite ends of the world know when the other is in trouble? They just energetically know. How do close couples know what the other is thinking, even before the other says it, right? How does a mother sense what a baby needs, even before the baby cries? Because this is energetic communication. How is it you park at a light, you look over at the driver in the neighboring car, and that driver always looks back at you because he senses the energetic frequency of your gaze?
That's true.
Right? So I'm just saying to you, you do it all the time. It's a skill that you haven't really cultivated, and that's what I'm going to teach you how to do in, you know, the Open Center workshop. We need to learn how to tune to the spirit channel of our brains, and one of the first ways that we do this is by creating what I call a state of receptivity. Because in the Western world...
How do you do that? What does that mean?
Yeah,
how do you do that?
To be receptive is, you know, we're so busy in the Western world. We're always moving and running and got the TV on and texting. We're never still and we're never quiet. And one of the first things Jean said to me was, Jamie, the noise of the day drowns me out. So anytime you want to hear me, just come to the bed and be quiet and you'll hear me. So I found out afterwards, somebody who did read the Bible said, God, in the Bible it said, be still and know that I am God. So I help you develop quiet, peaceful practices to be more quiet. And that helps you become more receptive. Then I show you how to breathe, because there are specific ways that you can breathe that help make you be more receptive and help you tune to the spirit channel. So we're going to do some of that. Then we're going to also talk about recognizing the signs of spirit presence, because so many people miss the signs, right?
Like what would a sign be? Give me an example of a sign.
I'm going to give you an example, okay? Now, here's a perfect example. And then this example will, you know, this one is crazy. So the priest, Jean's priest, told me, you know, once Jean's in heaven, you're not going to hear from him anymore. That's another one of those misconceptions. That bothered me. Right. What? There are no cell towers in heaven? What? Our signals aren't strong enough to read. You know, all these earthly misconceptions, they make no sense, right? So I come home and it's bothering me all day. And I finally make the circle for my in-home group that I'm running that night. Everybody's late except a new group member named Ashley. She doesn't know me. and we're alone in the group room when I hear the front doorbell, the door chime. It goes ding, ding. That's the sound that the burglar alarm makes when the door opens. And now I hear bang, 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 footsteps. And they stop in the adjacent waiting room. I said, Ashley, gosh, I think somebody came at the wrong time. So now I hear the footsteps going bang, bang, bang in the opposite direction. And then I hear ding, ding, the alarm chimes again. I said, I better go see who this is. I jump up. I run to the front door. And now I have a very long driveway. So whoever it was wouldn't have had the time to walk all the way down the driveway and get to his car without my seeing him. I open the door, Alan. There's nobody there. I come back and I say to Ashley, Ashley, there was nobody there. She says to me, it was a spirit. So those were signs from Jean, because he knew I was upset that the priest said, oh, when I'm in heaven, you won't hear from me anymore. Did you hear those footsteps? So spirits, being pure energy, can influence the material world in infinite ways. Signs are infinite. So, I mean, animals behaving oddly, strange scents, the scent of sanctity, sounds, footsteps.
Lights going on and off, right?
Light, electronics, because, again, they can interrupt the electronic frequencies of electronics. So for most people, Alan, just becoming aware of the signs is sufficient to begin the reconnection. But here's the important thing. For most people, they stop at, I got a sign. A coin was dropped on me. They get signs like this. And that they're kind of like beggars with a cup living in a passive state, just waiting for a dream visitation or a sign. Now, this is where my Love Never Dies and my Transdimensional Grief Resolution Method takes a complete departure from anything that we've ever seen before. In fact, the CEO of Hay House said, Jamie, we've never seen anything like what you do next. Because what I show you how to do is I show you how to use the signs, how to use human and animal open vessels, how to use earthly props like electronics to engage in a back and forth communication. So do you want me to give you an example of the difference?
Yes, please, because okay. It's fascinating.
I will. So here's an example.
I'm going to give you the example of the difference
between a static sign versus communicating back and forth with the help of the signs and the earthly props. So here's the example. It's the anniversary week, and actually, Alan, it's significant because this is the anniversary. I call it the anniversary because the anniversary is the date that your loved one leaves his physical body or her physical body. And this is the anniversary week that Jean left his body, September 17th.
Oh, that's why we're doing the interview today.
Isn't it fitting? Right. So it's the anniversary week last year. And I go to the chiropractor, and I say to the secretary, you know, Jean's been dropping a lot of signs on me this week. With that, Alan, I suddenly smell gardenias, okay? I don't say a word, and I'm alone in the office with the secretary. She looks at me. She says, Jamie, do you smell gardenias? I said, Teresa, that is amazing. Jean is dropping a sign on both of us at the same time. It's called the scent of sanctity, and he's giving us both the same sign. Okay.
Why gardenia? Did that mean anything to you, gardenia?
No, because the scent of sanctity is a sweet fragrance. When your loved one's surrounding you, you'll often smell a sweet fragrance. So I was smelling gardenias, and he perfumed her nostrils with the same scent. And that was also a confirmation. I am here, and I'm making her smell the same thing you're smelling. You see? They'll often bring the same sign to someone else who's with you so that it's validating you're reading me right, you're hearing me right, you're smelling me right. Do you see?
Right. Yeah, I do. But the one question I want to ask you that I've asked mediums and they never gave me a good answer is,
yes. What
are people doing all day on the other side? I mean,
wait a minute.
Sleeping.
This is one of the things that Jean said to me is, what else is there for me to do? It's my full-time occupation to love you. And I'm going to get into more of this in a minute, if you'll bear with me for 1 second.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that I can finish this example of the difference between the static signs versus dialoguing back and forth. The help signs. And then I will come back to what they do because it's an important question. So I come home from the chiropractor, and I have a patient in my office named Regina, desperately needs to reconnect with her sister in spirit. And I tell her what happened at the chiropractor and that scent of gardenias. Now, Alan, at that moment, I hear my husband saying to me, "But I wish I could give you roses." Now, he says it to me in my mind, and suddenly my patient Regina pops up off the couch and says, "Jamie, I smell roses." Now, do you see, Jean was communicating with me, using my patient as a human open vessel to validate, you heard me right, I want to give you roses. I said that, and I made your patient smell the roses. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he's using her to facilitate this back and forth conversation. Now, we can have back and forth communications with human and animal open vessels, with earthly props, electronics, with the signs. But now, here's the next place that we're going. And this goes to what you asked me.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have unfinished business with someone in spirit? Because millions of people worldwide do, right? And now we use my direct dialoguing. I put you in a trance, and we have a back and forth dialogue with your loved one in spirit. Now, when you dialogue with someone in this way, it's especially important if someone was ripped from you due to sudden illness or accidental death. If you're elderly, you don't want to form another primary attachment. If a kid was torn from you, and it's not the natural order of things for a parent to survive a child. These are all reasons that we want to reconnect and dialogue. But if you have unfinished business, then I show you how to dialogue to heal that unfinished business, okay? And we talk back and forth in writing, using a tape recorder if need be. And here's the thing. Most people think, well, you know what? They're busy. They have holy work to perform. They have other things to do than to just talk to you. It is untrue. What I see again and again is that we are their holy work, that this is all that they are here for, is to hold our hands as we travel down the bumpy road called life, support us in healing in mind, body, spirit, and emotion, and to work with us to achieve total prosperity, to help us fulfill our destiny, help us discover what is our prosperous path, and to help us heal whatever we haven't resolved with them. Now, here's something I really want everybody to know. Often we have to wait until they leave their bodies in order for us to work it out with them, because in spirit form, they're more evolved and they see how they messed up with us. They get a life review and they see what they've done wrong. And I discovered this literally the first week after Jean left his body, when I went to the car garage to repair the car, and Jean did the car thing, so I didn't know them. I walk in, I introduce myself to Debbie behind the desk, and I say to her what happened to Jean. She says, "I'm a widow too." Now, with that, her husband started beating down my door to get a message through to her. And he said, "Tell her to stop making the same mistake that I made with our son, because now she is creating the same power struggle that I did." So I tell her this, and she says, "Oh my gosh, it's true." So the point of that was he needed to be out of his body to realize how he was messed up. And that's why one of my patients said, "I wish my mother would hurry up and die so we can work this out."
That's funny. But that now, can't be the but you're saying that what they do full time in the other side is look after, don't they have their
It's metaphorical. There is no more important work for them than to work it out with us and to help us heal. And I'm going to tell you, this is another thing that's really important, okay? They need our help. to help them evolve spiritually. It's not like they're sitting there playing harps and they're all in peace. If we're not okay, they're not okay. Now, if they have unfinished business with us, they need us to confront them and work it out. How do I know this? It was the first Good Friday after Jean left his body, and he told me to go see this woman named Lainey, a bird breeder. I did not know her personally, except that she had tried to help us save our canary, Fluffy, and she was unsuccessful. I didn't know anything about her. I go to her studio, I walk in the door, and she points out a Gouldian finch that did not look well. It was all puffed up and slumped over, and she said, "This bird has not eaten for 2 days, and if it doesn't eat by tonight, it will not live because it has no energy." So I said, "May I try to help save the bird?" She goes, "Sure." So I lean over to the cage. I put my cheek against the bar, and mind you, normally a bird would be freaked out, but the bird was not freaked. And now I began to speak out loud to the bird. So I'm energetically communicating with this bird, but I'm using words so Lainey can hear me. And I say to the bird, "Listen, I want you to go down to your seed bowl and I want you to eat right now." And the bird listens to me. It starts to scarf up seeds like a little mini vacuum. And the more it does, the stronger it gets. Now it's chirping and it's jumping and it's looking good. All of a sudden, I look at the bird and it starts to crane its neck up and something's bothering it again and it stops eating. And I'm aware that there's some kind of spirit presence around the bird that's bothering the bird. And at first I hear what sounds like a mother. Now, I don't know who's in spirit and who isn't, but this mother energy says, "For Lainey, I am so sorry that I was such a weakling and I didn't protect you from him." And Lainey burst into tears and said, "That's true. My mom used to always call herself a weakling." That was the word she used. And now I hear a father energy, and he says, "I know that you are scared to death of me still because I sexually violated you, and I want you to know that I cannot evolve until you confront me, and I know you can't get past this trauma until you confront me." And so we used my dialoguing with the departed back and forth until she arrived at a great deal of healing, okay? And the bird survived. Mm-hmm. So,
wait, what did the bird have to do with this dialogue?
Birds are sensitive. Animals sense spirit presence. I have a coach who says that whenever there's a spirit presence, her cat starts staring off into space. And she goes and gets her camera and takes a picture. And the photo shows orbs and energies around the cat that her naked eye can't see. So animals are much more sensitive to these energies than we are. And that bird was actually becoming disturbed by the energy is what was happening.
I see. Or maybe it was just also to call you in and have you deliver the messages.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes.
But one question is, we had something else to say, but I just wanted to ask you, once that person works out all their stuff, what happens to them then?
Oh, that's great. So, you know, I have a lot of coaches that start out doing the work with me, you know, like they attend a workshop, and then as they work through their stuff, they go on to prosper incredibly. So, for example, this is fascinating. Almost every coach that has come to me and trained with me, Alan, was sent by Jean, hand-delivered. For example, Jacqueline, she was fast asleep in her bed. She was sick at heart, had an ear infection, so depressed, so sick over her husband. She was grieving him terribly. In the middle of the night, she's awakened out of a sound sleep. Her husband had turned on my Hay House radio show. And that was his way of saying, get in touch with her. And he then said to her, phone her tomorrow morning. It was Easter, but she phoned anyway. She went on to work with me. I helped her reconnect with her husband, work out whatever unfinished business they had. And then what started to happen was she began to prosper more and more. Because now that she wasn't all marinating in misery and so unhappy, she could begin to really live in love with him. And then he began to be her guide. And a couple of months ago, she was so unhappy in her job that she said that her husband and my husband came to her and told her, quit your job. She thought, are you crazy? I've got two young children. I can't quit my job. But they kept saying, quit your job. So she listened. And wouldn't you know, it was a direct guidance for her prosperity, because the job that she had hired her back for like five times the salary as a consultant. So this is how our relationships evolve. They start to heal us in every way and then guide us on the path to prosperity.
But do the spirits on the other side have their own evolutionary cycle? Do they reincarnate? Do they evolve to higher states?
That's a great question. People ask me that all the time. So I use the image of a prism, okay? You know, a prism has many facets, but it's still one prism, right? So it's very hard for us with our human minds to fathom the concept that we can be with our loved ones in one facet of the prism, and maybe they reincarnate in another facet, but it's all happening all at the same time.
Right. Like us, right? Maybe that's happening to us right now. Is that possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is going to blow your mind. I had a psychiatrist from New York City tell me that she prayed to her husband who had left his body. She said, please help me. I need to reconnect to you, and so do the children. Her husband said to her that he went to a clinic in the spirit realm run by a man named Jean Pain. That's my husband. So Jean is running a satellite branch of my coaching training and the work that I do. He's doing this in spirit. And this psychiatrist...
Wait. Let me just integrate that. You're saying that your husband, who's on the other side, has his own spirit clinic for spirits to teach them how to communicate with this side. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So the husband says to the psychiatrist, I went to this clinic in the spirit realm, and I met with this man named Jean Pain, and he taught me how to connect with you, and he showed me how to connect you to the person who will help you connect back to me. And that's how she
got
to
me. That's amazing.
And I hear this again, again, and again. They're walking, and Espy, one of my coaches, she begged her husband for the same help. Her eyes were pulled to the newspaper, and she sees an article by Bernie Siegel, Love, Medicine, and Miracles author. He had interviewed me, and this is the article. And she had just asked her husband for help in reconnecting, and now she sees the article and then realizes she had downloaded my book. So now she calls me, and obviously the rest is history. So they're working to help us heal in every way, and I am just working on my side of the veil, and Jean's working on his. And get this, every Tuesday night I train my coaches over Zoom.
Right.
And we hear our coaches, loved ones in spirit, talking. We see their shadows walking over the thumbnails. We hear papers rustling. They're working with us. They're working to help those in the spirit realm to reconnect with their loved ones.
Wow, this is great. So talk a little bit about the grief, counseling, the grief work, because people are sad when they lose someone who has passed. People do go through that.
It's a funny thing, because one of my coaches, Maya, she said people say to her, something's wrong with you, you're not that sad, something's wrong. Here's the thing, I'm working on it, and Jean is working with me on this worldwide paradigm shift. You know, the ideas of the stages of death and dying and grieving and all this. Everything I find is not what we think it is. When you reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, you don't grieve in the same way that we are supposed to grieve. For example, I had a woman come to me because her son had committed suicide. It's one of the most difficult things, right, when you're on the receiving end of that, the guilt, the self-blame. She was a Catholic, and she thought, oh, gosh, he's in hell because of this. So she was so depressed. And see, here's the thing, Alan. Time does not heal our grief. We think, oh, in 6 months it's going to be over, but it doesn't ever heal because we're not meant to be separated from the people we love. When we form a bond with someone, that bond is for life. It's for eternity. And I don't care what anybody says. You can say, oh, it's going to get better. It doesn't get better. It may get scabbed over, but you're not supposed to be separated. And why should you be separated when they're right here? They're just not in a body. So this poor woman was so grief-stricken. She was taking pills to sleep and drinking, and she passed out, hit her head, and had a brain bleed. She goes to the hospital. When they let her out of the hospital, they send her to a traditional Western grief therapist who tells her, you got to move on. You got to grieve, and you got to let go, and you got to move on. She gets worse. So she finds her way to me. And the first thing I did with her was I helped her to reconnect to her son. And we dialogue. And he explained to her why he left his body and that there was nothing she could have done to stop him. And by the time we finished the dialogue, her grief and her guilt lifted. And she went on now to cultivate a new relationship with him in spirit form. And this is what I show you how to do. The relationship begins again. You know, when Jean left his body, Alan, one of the first things people started saying to me was, you're glowing. And I said to him one night early on, why does everybody say I'm glowing? Why? When I'm, you know, crying. And he said, Jamie, because brides glow and we are newlyweds in the new spiritual phase of our relationship. That night I got an email from a stranger, didn't know who he was. And he says to me, I thought you'd like to see a photo of my beloved bird named Jamie. Well, that was already weird enough because Jean and I had a bird. Underneath that photo attachment, I know that was weird. Then I open up the second photo attachment, and Alan, it's a photo of the Eiffel Tower. Now, where did Jean and I go on our honeymoon? Paris. And the Eiffel Tower, of course, is the symbol of Paris. And he had just told me all day long, we're newlyweds. So this Eiffel Tower was hit, you know, and that magical message was, we're newlyweds, start again. Don't end, it's a new beginning. And so everybody that I helped to reconnect, they're not stuck in the grieving process. They're now in joy.
Don't people miss the physical contact?
Yes.
I mean, is that...
Yes, they do. Yes, but I'm going to tell you something. When you reconnect, as I teach you how to do, you don't feel the missing. My coaches are in ecstasy, let me tell you, or the people who go through my workshops, like I'm going to do at the Open Center. When you make that connection, you feel so energetically close that you feel touched. You feel their arms around you. You don't miss them physically. You really don't.
This is revolutionary for Western thinking, in a way.
Yes.
So people who do your training and the workshop you're going to do at the Open Center, they will, everyone, I mean, I know there's no guarantees, but if they're open, they will have communication with their loved ones.
It will be definitely a beginning. You know, this is like a process, okay? Because when you go to the gym, right, you don't lift 500 pounds the first day. Right? You start. We'll begin to open your door. We will begin the process, right?
Well, it's developing an awareness of that part of your mind that has access to those realms.
Well, it is, you know, it's like developing, I call it psychic muscle. In the same way that when you go to the gym and you use the muscle, it gets stronger. The first day you try to lift weights, you drop them on your toe. So I work with you to help you develop the psychic muscle. The more your psychic muscle develops, the more adept you get. Like one of my coaches, Judith, oh my gosh, this doesn't work. I can't do it. And then what we realized was she was actually blocked from reconnecting because she had unfinished business with her dad. She was mad at him, and her anger was causing her to be demanding. I want you to come through this way. I want you to love me that way. And when he didn't respond in the way she was trying to control him, that convinced her she was being abandoned, just like she was in life. And then she got all bitter, and this doesn't work. And when I helped her to realize she was literally blocking him with her anger, the doors opened. Judith looks like an angel. And in fact, tonight in coach's training, I said to her, Judith, we've got to really, you know, describe your story and your journey. And she's the one whose father came through and had me saying some joke to her in Italian. Yeah.
And she's
in a different place. Yeah.
So let's talk on a bigger level. I mean, this is revolutionary, but this is part of an upgrade in our human abilities to know that there's a greater universal consciousness that we're all a part of, right? Don't you see this as part of a bigger thing?
Yes. But, you know, the thing is, think about this. They say that God is love, right? And our loved ones in spirit are one with God. So when we reconnect with our loved ones in spirit, we are receiving a fast track to loving ourselves fully. The more we love ourselves, the more we receive the love, the light, and the healing from our loved ones in spirit, the more we are filled with love, the more then we can fulfill our ultimate purpose on the earth plane, because this world, this earth plane, is our love lab. We're here for no other purpose than to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. And reconnecting with our loved ones in spirit is the way to do it.
What is the ultimate, is that the ultimate purpose you're saying?
Our ultimate purpose, I call this earth plane our love lab. We're here to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. And I'm going to tell you something personal. This is very personal, okay? I am living proof of how difficult it is to love yourself when you've been abused. I was raised by two very abusive parents. They beat me physically, and they beat me down verbally. And even though I was with Jean for, you know, almost 30 years, and the man just showered me in love, on my deepest core, I did not love myself as well as I should have. Now, when Jean left his body, I went to my professional group in New York City, and I was weeping, and I said, look, I have to do something, because the voices of my parents still buzz in my head and put me down. No matter how successful I am, best-selling book, whatever, they're still tearing me down. So all the psychoanalysts in my group, they were saying, listen, you've got to shout out your parents and let our voices replace their voices, and we'll just yell them into submission. None of this ever worked. Never worked for me, never worked for my patients. I come home. I get on my knees and I pray to Jean, I'm begging you, please heal me, please help me. He suddenly appears to me as the embodiment of love. He's surrounded in golden light. He takes my face in his hands. He turns me toward him and the light. And he says to me, Jamie, listen, listen, listen to me. Let my love for you fully enter you. And I suddenly felt a tidal wave of love pouring into me. His love for me became my own self-love. And I realized in this moment, Jean had to be out of his body, freed from the vessel, the physical vessel, in order for his soul essence and his love to enter me unimpeded. And I was healed. And so
Thank you for sharing that.
This is why I have such a ministry, because I know that this is your fast track to self-love and to loving the world, is through reconnecting with your loved ones and letting them heal every corner of your soul, heal you mind, body, spirit, emotion, and then guide you to full prosperity. And I mean, all prosperity in every way, prosperity in your heart, financial prosperity, and that's what the reconnection brings.
Well, are you merging now with Jean? I mean, would you say you're becoming more of a oneness?
You know, I think of it more as we dissolve the walls that block us from receiving love. our loved ones are able to bring us incredible love and healing because they are now free to energetically fill us with love because they're out of their physical vessel. So it's just love. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, let me ask you one other question. What is the reason for incarnation into the earth plane if we are love anyway?
Well, because ultimately, they say that here in the earthly body, we are here to learn lessons, right? And specifically to overcome whatever these blocks are that we have to loving ourselves and others. And it is a much easier way to learn these lessons when you're in a body. But
so,
remember,
yeah,
but it's an illusion. This is all a big illusion anyway. Because one of the first things Jean said to me was, what makes you think the realm where you are isn't the illusion and the realm where I am isn't the reality? So this is, you know, just a big, like, illusion. And we're here learning and loving. And where they are is really the reality.
But you are doing something unique as far as helping people open up that part of their mind that can start to hear the other realm. And so
absolutely. Absolutely.
And if this becomes a common practice, well, this will change things like religion, of course, but it will.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much change. Already there is so much change. Everyone who attends a workshop is part of our love revolution. Everyone who goes on to become one of my coaches is a love revolutionary. We're changing the world. It's a paradigm shift. We don't die. We just leave our bodies. Our relationships don't end with bodily death. They're supposed to continue. And it's never too late to not only reconnect, but also heal unfinished business. And in so doing, you become a vessel that is filled with light and love that you can bring to the world, and you prosper in every way through the process.
So that is the thing with your coaching. Your coaching is to start to amplify the level of love on the earth plane.
Absolutely.
That's,
absolutely.
And that is what you're teaching in your workshops at the Open Center, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's really kind of neat talking to you because what I get about you that's so special is that this is your ministry. In every interview that you do, you are bringing these new paradigms, these new thought leaders to your audience to help people open up to love. That's
right.
What you're doing.
They're helping. I'm helping people, but it's also helping me. I do it because I want to know. I want to find out
right.
how to open to love. I want to and share what I've discovered with whoever's listening. So talking to you is awakening because you discovered something that a lot of people deny and don't think is possible, and you have proof. Just the exchange you have just with the electronic happenings around you, right? Talk about that, what happens electronically with you.
Oh my gosh. You know, if you go to my social media pages, Ask Dr. Love are the handles on Facebook and Twitter and on YouTube. It's Ask Dr. Love. I have videos that will blow your mind. Now, Jean has gone over the top with the manifestations because one of the first things he said to me was, Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So he goes way over the top to prove we don't die. If you go on my social media, you'll see videos because I capture his manifestations practically daily.
Well, can you tell us about it? How does he go way over the top?
Here's a good one. I'm on the phone with someone, and I'm talking about somebody who had really misbehaved. And I said, I think Jean is really angry about the way he treated me. All of a sudden, I hear a roaring sound coming from the kitchen. I go into the kitchen, and I am with my friend on the phone with my cell phone in hand. And I say, I can't believe it. The roaring is the hot air fan of the microwave, only the microwave is not on, but Jean is blowing this fan. And I said, look, he's communicating using this earthly prop. And I think when I acknowledge Jean's meaning is this guy I'm talking about is full of hot air. As soon as I acknowledge it, the fan will go off. And sure enough, it did. And I filmed the whole thing. right? Mm-hmm. I was doing a workshop in St. Pete in the spring. I came out of a restaurant after eating, and Jean said, I want you to know I'm with you, Jamie. And to let you know, look up. I'm going to turn this commercial streetlight into a fireball, and I'm going to change the color from white to blue to green. I filmed the whole thing. Yeah.
Wow. So things are happening, miracles are happening all the time for you, huh?
Oh, constantly, yes. And the whole point is so that I will share it with everyone else to let our love shine like a torch. So.
Well, thank you, Jane, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, Turndorf. And your date at the center is?
October 7th. And, you know, you can find out, I mean, at askdrlove.com/live events, there's a description, or you can just go to the New York Open Center, page.
.org, I think it is.
New York Open Center. Let me see. I can tell you. But, anywhere on my social media at askdrlove.com, you'll see it. You'll see it at askdrlove.com/live events. Right. And then I can give you, because I'll just take a quick peek now and I will tell you what the link is.
What is so exciting about your work is that you are excited about it. Like it is a mission, but it's also a passion. I just feel like you're like a little kid, very excited about the next day, what's the miracle of the next? Because it is miraculous what's happening. So
absolutely,
I appreciate your excitement, and this does seem like your life. This is your work, right?
It is my ministry now, and yes, it is the opencenter.org, and then /love-never-dies. Yeah,
right. And you have other books out besides this one, you said?
I do. My first Hay House, these were both published by Hay House. My first Hay House book was Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. And that one presents my conflict resolution method. And so basically I'm bringing my conflict resolution method now to the world of after-death communication with Love Never Dies.
What's a little brief overview of your conflict resolution method?
That would be hard to do in brief, but essentially, specifically, there's a chemical imbalance that causes relationship fighting. And specifically, men's bodies are hardwired to be hyperreactive to stress and danger. It dates back to prehistoric times when men were hunters and they needed to react with lightning speed to flee or fight dangerous prey. And so what happens is when you have relationship fighting, oftentimes, this is the most common pattern in marital distress and even in, gay couple distress, is that the guy goes into fight flight and he withdraws. And for the partner who's being withdrawn upon, that partner thinks, you don't love me enough to stick around. And so that person gets hurt and the hurt morphs into anger and the anger triggers more fight flight response, more withdrawal. And this is like the number one fight pattern in intimate relationships, the number one cause of breakups and divorce and domestic violence. So my method shows you how to cool it down so that you abort this cycle.
And then how do you bring that sort of thing, I know you, that was brief, into this next dimension?
So this is what we, basically when I help you to dialogue with your loved ones in spirit, I am of course bringing to bear my, my decades of work and research and writing to your conflict resolution discussion, and I'm helping you.
So you're helping people resolve issues with those that have passed so then they could be more available for love. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm helping you resolve the conflict so that you can move on. And because a lot of people, Alan, think I'm grieving when in fact they're carrying unfinished business. I can't stop crying because I'm really crying over the fact that I never got what I needed from you or I never worked it out with you. So we're healing
that
all that unfinished business.
That makes sense because, yes, I remember my father passing, and I you know, had worked out a lot of stuff with him. I had, I was at peace with that. So, yes, I know.
Right. Yeah. So when you resolve your unfinished business, you are now lighter. You function better. Not only are you not grieving, now you're free to have a really healthy, unconflicted relationship with your loved one in spirit. And now your loved one can really be your guide and help you to heal in every way, physically, and help you prosper. And so this is how the relationship evolves. And then, of course, you're helping your loved one in spirit, too, to evolve as well.
And if you have unfinished business, you really can hear what's coming to you because you have all that block. Like you
That's
said,
like static, right?
Right. Well, right. This has been really great. Thank you for your time here tonight.
And, it was wonderful talking to you. You asked me really great questions, very, very wise.
Well, I'm really interested in all of this and the fact that we are moving closer to this awareness of these unseen dimensions, these new realities. I've been talking to Dr. Jamie Turndorf, her book, Love Never Dies, by Hay House, and the subtitle, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. But she'll be giving a workshop October 7th, 2017, at the Open Center, New York. The Open Center is 22 East 30th Street. And come down there or look them up online and definitely come to this revolutionary workshop, which I think you're going to keep evolving, Jamie. More things are coming to you because this feels like the beginning of a whole new paradigm, but a whole new way of dealing with who we are as human beings, the awakening of the greater parts of our own soul.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's just been wonderful having this soul connection with you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. So maybe I'll see you at the Open Center.
I'd love to have you there. It'll be marvelous.
You know what? The Open Center is doing this whole, like, dying program, like, making, and it'd be great, you know, to add your stuff to their whole program, that whole approach to conscious dying or something. I don't know what they're doing exactly, but I'm just thinking, you know, that would be an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thank you.
Thank you so much
time.
For having me.
And yes, I'll put this out in the newsletter and tell people about you. And
it's wonderful. And John, thanks you also for all your support.
Has he been listening this whole time?
Of course.
Did he have any comments? Does he have anything
He says, thank you so much.
Well, that's nice of him. Thank him for
Very
me.
Grateful.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Okay. All right, so I'll be in touch with you.
Wonderful. See you very soon.
Yes, this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I'm talking to Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Her book, Love Never Dies, she'll be at the Open Center October 7th, 2017. Thanks for listening. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Look me up on YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Good night.